Brecht left to call the proper authorities. Alan took off his wet clothing and catwashed in the men's lavatory, then changed into a clean smock and trousers and a pair of somebody's worn Nikes. When he came out of the John, she was waiting with a cup of hot black coffee, and then she showed him to an examining room. He thanked her, smiling stiffly, as she pulled the door behind her, and he turned his back to the door and planted his shoulders against it. Alan carefully set the coffee down on the small nurse's table, wrapped both arms across his chest, clasped his shoulders, and hugged himself. His eyes fixed on the telephone sitting on the desk, next to the blood pressure monitor and the coffee cup. He remembered Jolene Summer at that party a year ago at Milt's River Place. She had playfully mussed his hair and had told him it was too perfect.
"Alan, you've got to learn to unwind a little."
Her touch had left him permanently tousled. Like a warm breeze, it had carried hints of foreign vacations and easy laughter. After meeting her, he'd returned home to his life and discovered it was a colorless shell.
"There is more," she'd seemed to intimate. "There is me."
He visualized a sprawling house tucked on the shadowy pine bluff overlooking the St. Croix River, south of the Hudson Bridge. His watch said 9:18 a.m. He had an idea of how she spent her days. He did not think of her at night when she was with Hank. The idea of her touching his gnarled old body. She'd be wearing the white chenille robe that complemented her green eyes and brought out the ruby highlights in her dark hair. That damn gray cat he despised would be curled on her lap. When Alan shut his eyes, he was startled by the abyss of fatigue that met him in the dark behind his eyelids. The sound of the window shuttering in the wind brought him up sharply on task, and he oriented himself on the serious...